Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Oh my goodness.
Hey,
hi everybody.
I'm jumping these sharks.
Hey, forget about it.
Forget about it. I'm jumping.
That's what he
sounds
like.
That's the
I'm
Fonz,
jumping
right?
The sharks.
That's the
Fonz. Gabagool. Gabagool. Classic Fonz.
Yeah, that was my favorite episode of The Sopranos, too.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
A brand gleaming, spanking
gleaming.
New.
Sweaty,
mm-hmm.
sweaty new.
Yeah, glistening. A shiny, shiny, but in an uncomfortable way.
Yeah, and a free episode at that. We are putting this out for everybody.
You ever just real quick, you ever notice how like shiny is a great, it's a really super awesome and exciting adjective for like an inanimate object, but for when it's like
yes.
a person, it's the worst thing.
No, you don't want a shiny person.
You don't want a shiny person. I'd like a shiny
when there's
stereo.
Shiny, there's greasy, you know?
But like a shiny hamster? Probably not
no,
for me.
No, because it's greased up, which means it's probably been in a butt.
Mm-hmm.
Most things that are greased up have been in a butt.
Statistically speaking, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, free episode. If you're interested, we have gone through almost the entire X-Files series over at our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, where we do this show where we have been examining... Fox Mulder. We've watched every single X-Files. We've covered every single one.
Yep.
In up
sequential
until
order.
Season 9.
So
yeah.
If this is your first episode, welcome. But gosh, you got a lot. You got a lot
you
before
got a
this.
Lot.
So
you
much
got a
before
lot.
This. In fact, I recommend you go back and listen to most of that because the show is kind of bad now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk
we'll
about
get,
it.
We'll talk about it, yeah.
We're on a pretty big episode, but
yeah.
not a... I don't know, not a fun episode, but it felt
it's
right
weird.
To have free.
It is and it isn't. Like, it is a big episode, but it also isn't really, because it's weirdly forgettable.
Yes, weirdly forgettable.
Weirdly forgettable.
We are deep into the Mulderless season of the X-Files. And this is, for context, they have just found out that they're being canceled. Like one episode ago, I want to say, they were shooting it and they found mm-hmm. out they were being canceled because Mulder is not there anymore. Scully is barely there. And bless their hearts, Agent Doggett and Reyes, they're just not what the fans had signed up for. And we are at season 9, episode 15, titled Jump the Shark. So they knew.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so what had been happening at this point is some real darkness.
some
the
real
Lone Gunman
bone-chilling
TV
events.
Series. Yeah, the Lone a little behind the scenes. The Lone Gunman TV series had been canceled after predicting 9/11.
When did it air?
2001.
Okay.
Because it predicted 9/11. And then 9/11 happened. Their first episode was about flying a plane to the World Trade Center. It aired before 9/11. And boy, did those writers, you know, get some questions thrown their way after that.
Oh, yeah.
They're
not
so
allowed to fly
Fox,
commercially anymore.
Right. Fox had canceled the show and reportedly, quote, hated the characters of the Lone Gunman to the point that the producer of the X-Files and co-writer of this episode, Frank Spotnitz, had to fight to get this made. The studio did not want to bring back the Lone Gunman.
That's so
even
weird.
In the 9th season.
We've,
they were done.
We've brought it up before at various points over the course of this podcast series, but like now that we're finally here, it's so weird that they would be so spiteful, like the network would be so spiteful toward these characters, because it's like at this point they already know the X-Files is canceled, So it's not like they're protecting the brand of the X-Files. So what does it matter if the lone gunmen show up on the X-Files again? It's like, well, we can't have characters from a failed TV show show up on this TV show. People will think it's bad. It's like, well, you've already canceled it.
It's absolutely wild because they were Fox was such shits at this point. And I get it. Like, they should have ended the X-Files earlier.
Yes.
But obviously, this is the problem, is that they were on the top of the world at like season 5, and Fox was like, make more, make more, make more. And so they did. And then it took David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson to be like, I'm done. Like, I've given this like almost a decade of my life. I'm leaving. And Fox was like, make more, make more. And then it started, the ratings went down because they didn't have their two leads there. And Fox is like, ah, you're crap now. We're turning to 24. Like, I think 24 was the hot new hotness. And they just like threw out the X-Files. And it was like, fuck you guys, man. You're the one who demanded that they keep making more. And now they're like, ah, you're nothing to us.
I mean, Dave, it sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It sure does.
This is just how the industry works sometimes. Yep.
To quote actor Bruce Harwood, which is one of the lone gunmen, quote, I think if the studio objected to anything, it was wasting time on our characters long enough to kill us off. Brutal. Brutal.
The episode is brutal. Like, the episode, in addition to being like so melodramatic, I can't tell whether it's tongue in cheek, it's also very spiteful. And not just on behalf of like the fact that the studio insisted that the characters be killed off, but like there are so many little barbs throughout about like the lone gunman being broke and having all their stuff taken away. And it's sometimes bleak. The good guys lose. They like beat you over the head with this idea.
It's what happens when a series is cut short. I mean, again, it went on too long.
But yeah, but now this was they like angry. Like this was like,
because like it now begins they have to rush this, everything.
It begins with this weird montage of the Lone Gunman TV series with this narration, and the narration ends on, I wrote it down, those who fight the good fight don't always win. And that's the cold open that goes into the opening credits of the episode. So like, what must that have sounded like to fans watching this live? It's like, what?
Like, it's very bleak.
What a nihilistic thing to say to people before the episode starts.
Vince Gilligan, who is the other co-writer, called this, and of course Vince Gilligan went on to make Breaking Bad, but he calls the lone gunman a, quote, open wound for him. Basically, you're right. It was spiteful. They were mad. They were upset about, I mean, they're not only was this, basically, like, they had this growth where they were, like, spinning off characters. They were, like, we're on top of the world. And then Fox was, like, we're throwing you all out.
Within the span of a year, it seems.
Yeah, and you have, like, 5 episodes to wrap everything up. Like, we're nearing the end of season 9.
Yeah.
And so they have to, like...
They made... The X-Files made Fox a lot of money throughout the 90s. And it's real shitty that... This is what happened.
They didn't give him any time.
Yeah, that's a real shame. That's a real shame.
Chris Carter has stated that the title Jump the Shark wasn't supposed to make fun of the quality of the episode. And it's very funny that he says that because I feel like he's doing damage control there. He says, oh, it was still good until the end. And I'm like, I don't know if you've completely believed that. They've had some good episodes, but
I think, well, Jump the Shark, Jump the Shark, I feel like maybe wasn't, it was pretty well known in a well-known mainstream term at that point. So never mind. But I do feel like he was, there may be more referring to the forced hand of it. Because I'm pretty sure the creative team of Happy Days didn't want the Fonz to jump sharks on water skis. Like, I'm sure that's probably not what they envisioned for the characters or this story they were telling.
Right. He said it was more of an observation on people who thought they had already jumped the shark. The choice, of course, spoilers, the lone gunmen die. They kill them off. What's
sort
interesting
of,
is that
they do it in a way where, especially in a show like The X-Files, where they could bring them back anytime they wanted to.
It's funny you mentioned that, because Spotnitz said, I can't say I regret killing them off. As you know, no one really dies in the X-Files, as evidenced by the next episode. But you might want to know that in the comic book adaptation, the X-Files season 10, they revealed that lone gunmen faked their deaths. Of course, that comic is no longer canon, sadly, because they made a season 10. But there was a comic series that,
I mean,
claimed,
it's,
oh, they weren't dead.
It's very conspicuous, particularly after, like, with the demise of other major characters like Deep Throat and X and Krycek, we saw them die very definitively.
Yeah.
This one, it fades to white and just cuts to their funeral. We don't see them die. We don't even see them get harmed or injured. Like, we don't see the virus start to hurt them. So, like, it feels very deliberate that they're, like, they're not really dead.
Yeah, I could tell if that was, like, a little bit for time and effects, too, because it's, like, probably watching them die would have been horrific.
Too, yeah.
Like, they probably died screaming, right?
Oh, yeah, they died howling and pulling their bones out and renouncing God and everything they've ever believed in. Yeah, no, it was really a really shocking display.
Yep. Vince Gilligan
just humanity laid bare in their final moments.
Yeah. Vince Gilligan said they made the wrong choice.
Well, their wacky little lone gunman theme music is playing.
You know who didn't regret the death is the actors. At least from what I could tell, the Bruce Hardwood said, quote, it would have either featured them walking off into the sunset without hobo bags over their shoulders or killed off. And he said, I was glad they were killed off. Which is very telling that the actors were kind of like, yeah, we were done. And like, I get it, where it's like, yeah, fuck it, kill them. You know, like at that point, they're like, we're in season 9. We'll get one more episode at best.
Well, and they never really had just much kill us either. Off. They were never really developed as characters. Like, no, they're fun, and you know, they come out and they come out like Kramer and get applause or whatnot. But like, they didn't get any depth like some of the other like side characters like Skinner or you know, people, or like X, like people like that got.
They had this like cult following, but they were always kind of cartoony, and
yeah,
that's why like the fundamental idea of making a lone gunman show, like I've never seen the show, and the reason why it was like, oh, they aren't the characters I would spin off. I would spin off, like you said, Skinner or X. Like an X TV show, although I think, is X dead?
X is dead, yeah, pretty definitively.
But you could do, or like a young cigarette smoking man show. Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man is a great episode. Do a young...
That would be a fascinating show, honestly, to be following. It'd be like Talented Mr. Ripley a little bit, because you're following this dude who you don't like, and he's the bad guy. Oh, it'd be kind of like You as well.
Yeah. They chose awesome the wrong show, characters actually. To spin off. They really did.
They did, because they chose like... Honestly, some of the few X-Files characters that are truly two-dimensional.
Yeah. And they also, like, what are they doing? Like, I haven't watched the show. I'm like, are they detectives? Are they out solving cases? They don't seem like that type. I know they're hackers and they'll go with Mulder on these adventures.
They expose conspiracies in their newspaper.
Yeah. It just felt too similar to the X-Files. They should have just done something totally different. I don't know.
It was a weird instinct to spin those characters off, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode is terrible.
This is a bad episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. So they did the same thing with Millennium, right? With Millennium got canceled and they made a Millennium episode to wrap it up. But with the Millennium episode, I didn't feel like I had to have watched Millennium. This one, like, who the fuck is Jimmy?
That's why they give us that like crash course montage in the beginning to tell us who like this character Eve is and this character Jimmy is.
Yeah, what the fuck happened in that?
And then that
season,
dude,
a lone gunman,
Kimmy the hacker, shows up, the insufferable dude that is just like toxically unpleasant, and then makes like fucking ableist jokes, like 90s ableist jokes. Like, I can tell why the show got canceled.
Yeah,
because all these characters
are
awful.
I haven't watched any Lone Gunman, but from what I can tell, they had an intern named Jimmy. They had a love interest named, what's her name? Eve?
Eve.
And then they had their like foils. The other hackers would come in every now and then, and they would. I assume they got involved in. I assume Morris Fletcher was there. Michael McKean.
Seems like he was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I assume that was like he was like their big baddie, but he was also kind of fun. Clearly, because he's kind of a scummy con man. He's a great character. The man in black who's just kind of an asshole. And so, like, I was trying to figure out what had happened in that season, and that's the best I could figure out, is that they clearly collected side characters,
yeah.
And then they wanted to give... And it's so crowded, this episode, because they have to introduce, like, here's Jimmy. Don't worry about Jimmy. He's going to be here for a while, though. And like to the point that Scully is not
Scully's
in this episode
in
until
it.
The end.
Yeah, and Doggett and Reyes are barely in it.
Yeah, I actually kind of get why Fox was like, we don't want to do this. Because they're basically just making a final episode of the Lone Gunman show and not an X-Files episode.
Correct.
And Fox is like, you know, we canceled that for a reason. Like, we don't want another Lone Gunman episode.
But again, they had canceled the X-Files already at this point.
Yeah. 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 No, what do they care?
So it's the fuck do you care, man?
Like, you mentioned that they had sold all their stuff and they're broke. I feel like that was also they just didn't have the props anymore. That was my vibe, is like they had to like write in a reason why. Like, the studio was like, we're not paying for any of this shit. You'll get an empty room. Like, we already like cleared out the set, the Lone Gunman set.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that might have been it. It definitely felt like Barb's, too. Like, that, just them being like, we didn't have any money, and they took away all our resources. So, of course, this scrappy little show failed.
Fucking Jimmy. So, yeah, So it's the return of Morris Fletcher at the Bermuda Triangle. He's scumming around. He gets entangled in this plot.
He's sex pesting in the middle of the ocean, which is really truly incredible.
He's doing a Dennis move, like from Always Sunny.
He is, yeah.
Where the boat idea, where you take him out in the boat and they can't say no. That's Dennis's whole tactic when they get a boat.
Yep.
And yeah, it gets thrown into this wacky plot involving this woman Eve killing off these professors who are terrorists, who have bombs in them that are viruses, and then the lone gunmen die because of this virus. That's the episode. We can get into World's Luckiest Detective.
Boy,
right?
Yeah, we can. There's like shark cartilage, and
hence the name Jump the Shark.
There's
that was
layers
really
of there's constant little like shark posters and sharks and aquariums in the background and stuff.
Yeah. Our first segment, for people who are new, again, go watch or listen to older episodes. We're going to talk about extremely lucky moments. This usually involved Mulder, but Mulder's not here, so this would involve everybody. Starting with the idea that Morris Fletcher just sort of falls right into their lap. I guess he's orchestrating the whole thing, right?
Right. We find out this is all like a carefully orchestrated plan. Like,
right.
It's a work. This whole thing is a shoot. Like, so him being in
does he want?
In the boat in the middle of the ocean with this woman, and then these pirates show up to blow up his boat and kidnap the lady, and then he washes up on shore, and the FBI picks him up, and they're interrogating him. This whole thing was so he could so that they would contact the lone gunman, and in turn the lone gunman would track down Eve for him. He wanted to get in touch with Eve because he's working for some billionaire arms dealer.
That's a real Joker plot.
Yeah,
like,
it really is,
who,
Dave.
What witnesses was he creating?
It's called
out in the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. Why did he kidnap himself in the Bermuda Triangle?
I don't know.
Like, why did he do that? That woman is not a witness. Like, we never see her again. So
they mention her as being a witness.
Okay, so she just hire an actress, right? Just have I don't know, it's weird that he actually did the kidnapping. And then blew up his own boat.
Well, I mean, if you consider
an action sequence where he jumps off of it.
If you consider that he's CIA, it's not that hard to believe. Well, I mean, it's less hard to believe because it's like, well, what's better than getting an actor is getting somebody who really believes they witnessed the thing that they saw.
Right. It just reminds me of Ocean's 12.
Right. It's where impossible. There's too many layers of it. It's an impossible plan. But
right. Like, even if that was the case, why is he like acting in the moment like he's scared and in danger?
And jumps off the boat.
But to sell it to who?
To sell it to her? She's already gone.
She's speeding off in the boat.
This is why you didn't get into the CIA.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I'm not sure if it's lucky. It's lucky that people keep showing up. Right, like Jimmy
it's lucky that
up.
Jimmy just shows up when they happen to go talk to the lone gunman about tracking down Eve. And then Jimmy knocks on their secret back door and they're like, oh, that's our secret door. Nobody ever comes there. And he's like, oh, guys, thank God I found you. I've just spent the last year and a half tracking Eve across the world. I know exactly where she is. Oh, good.
These people just happened
to show up right now and be asking where Eve is.
Yeah, after a year and a half, he chose that time to show up.
To stumble in there.
Exactly the information they need. There's a lot of hacking magic where they're just like, we know where she's heading based off like traffic cams or something. The big one I flagged is when they learn that there's a decoy. So she kills a guy and rips the bomb out of him. And then she's going, and so she jumps out the window. And the professor's like friend sees her from the window and she runs away. And then she's going after this other guy who turns out to be a decoy. And they go, oh, my God, the bomb could be anybody. And then Morris says, well, he's probably hiding in plain sight because that was a decoy, which I don't know how that logic works. Well, and then the one of them says,
OK, go ahead. The way he explained it made a little bit of sense, but.
But he basically says, because that's a decoy, it could be someone hiding in plain sight. One of them says, well, it must be a friend of the professor. Again, no, there's no reason for that. And then she completes it and goes, oh, it's the guy who saw me. There is no, that is a wild guess. And they are completely correct.
Pretty big leap over the shark there.
Yeah, the guy who happened to see her kill the other guy. She's like, well, he's the bomb. Why? Because he was there? Like, he could have been anybody.
The way McKeon explains it, though, it did make sense because he's like, well, look, they went to a lot of effort. Like, they put in a lot of, like, work. Like, there was, like, a fake name and, like, there was a couple of fake records. They created a fake trail for them to follow this decoy. So he pointed out they went to a lot of effort to make this decoy, which probably means you were pretty close. So it's probably somebody pretty close to that first guy or that area you were in. And it's not enough. It's not enough to say, like, oh, it was this other professor, but like his logic makes sense to me.
All right. They use child logic, I thought. Like, especially, the friend of the professor. Oh, that guy who saw me. It's just amazing luck that the on the first try they guess who the bomb is.
Yes, That's TV show.
It could
magic.
Be a person
that's
in like another state.
That's like some Batman and Robin. What kind of people are always in a hurry? Russians. Like it's like some real cold virus.
The other lucky thing I flagged was that I guess I'm lucky. They're lucky that fire alarms don't work like a fire alarm has ever worked before.
Fire alarms generally don't close bulkhead doors in hotels.
Yes. So there. This
what
ends,
hotel
this
ends, has bulkhead doors? It's not a fucking submarine.
I have so much to say about this, and it's not all in this segment, but like basically at the very end, they're like, we need to trap this guy with the virus. He's like, you have 1 minute, and then I'm going to explode and kill everybody in this hotel. So they pull a fire alarm, and my instinct was like, oh, good idea. Evacuate the hotel.
Evacuate the building, yeah.
But what happens instead is too airtight, they say airtight, bulkhead doors close between them. And it was like, is this a supervillain's lair?
You know how when you pull a fire alarm and it seals you inside the building?
Yeah, that's the purpose of a fire alarm, right? So you can't leave the fire.
Right. Nobody fucking does that.
Yeah, the most logic I could make is they're like, if it's airtight, it cuts off oxygen. But it's not like they can't breathe still. Like it still kills the person in the room with the fire, right? Like, I was trying to make it make sense, and
It doesn't, because bulkhead doors are supposed to keep water from... It's a ship design.
They're not on a submarine.
No, it's like... I mean, you would have it... I don't know, man. Dumb. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about engineering or science or anything, but like I do know that you wouldn't fucking seal people inside the building when they pulled a fire alarm.
I want to circle back to it because I have more to say, but it's very dumb. And it is how these major characters die. And it's like, that's kind of why it hinges. Like you said, spite. It's a spiteful episode where they clearly didn't think, they were like, all right, let's just fucking kill them off. How do we do it? I don't know. He pulls a fire alarm. Who gives a shit? That's all
also,
I got for Lucky.
Who are these people? Why do they have these bombs inside
right.
them? Why do
That's
these
a great
professors
question.
Suddenly dedicate themselves to a shark death cult where they're going to yeah. make shark bombs in their chests that burst out a doomsday virus? Who are these that guys? Is... They never answer that.
No, they're just fucking David Morse and 12 Monkeys. It's just, yeah, why are they doing this?
Incredible.
What incredibly an weird what, episode.
The last ride of the Lone Gunman. Truly
right,
memorable.
Think they should be concerned, right? After
Fuck,
even
man.
Thwarting these guys, they should be like, are there more shark
yeah,
towers?
How many shark bombs did they make?
Yeah, what do they want? Like, yeah, nope. No, we don't care. Moving on.
Is this what every shark researcher is secretly up to?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they look at sharks and they're like, I want to be a killing machine too. Any other luckiness?
Nope.
All right. You know what time it is.
Oh, man. Mm. Folks, it's time to dim those lights, kick up your feet, and put on a Bane mask while you burn a guy's heart in a furnace. Because it's time she totally does put on a Bane mask. That's all I could think of. Because it's time for Mulder After Dark.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, it's me, Donatello!
Hi!
Cowabunga, dude!
Cowabunga! Mulder After Dark. All right. All right, settle down, everybody.
Osteoporosis. All right.
Let's talk about the Lone Gunman. Because we don't have Mulder in this. This is when we talk about how, you know,
how unhinged, out of control. Right. This is the part of the episode where we talk about, how unhinged Mulder is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I tripped myself up. I was about to do the bit for fucking crazy as a fox, crazy like a fox.
No. we don't have Mulder. We have the Lone Gunman. We have Doggett and Reyes. We have Skinner. We have Scully. I have things to say about all of them. The Lone Gunman, I just want to say they're so cartoony to the point that they do everything together.
Right, they're like Huey,
like
Dewey, and Louie
together.
Right,
yes.
I feel like they bathe and like take shits together.
To the point that they die together, and I just want to point out that they don't
bad
need
boys
to.
For life, Dave.
Yeah, because what happens again? This guy is like, I'm gonna explode. I believe it's Frohickey. It doesn't really matter which pulls the fire alarm.
It is Frohickey who pulls the fire alarm.
And then it takes
it
like
would
20
be,
seconds.
I always knew that Frohickey would kill them all.
Oh, yeah, of course. I thought it was suicide by cop, but yeah. So Frohickey pulls the fire alarm. This bulkhead that they seem to have known that was going to happen.
Right.
Starts going down.
I would not know that would... This must have been so baffling for people watching it. Because, like you said earlier, the thing that you would be thinking is that, oh, they're pulling the fire alarm to evacuate the building. There's no reason you would assume that these two gigantic metal doors would come down and seal them inside.
Right. And I know some of this is
like
TV magic.
Like the end of the goddamn Mummy.
Yeah. But they have so much time to get out of there. To the point that like when the bad guy runs for the door, it's almost like he has to like slow walk. Like he has to like pretend
also,
like, oh no.
Even if it was a sacrifice scenario, all three of them didn't need to be in there.
That's
only one person needed to pull the switch.
That's what I'm saying, is that they do everything together
and they
even die together.
They picked correctly. Frohickey should have been the one to pull the switch.
Right. But
Byers
so
and
they,
Langley didn't need to be in there with him.
They all give each other looks and they say like ride or die or whatever.
Yeah,
so they know what's
life.
About to happen. There's no reason why he can't pull the switch while the others run for it. And even Frohickey could try to Indiana Jones his way out of there. They don't even try.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot.
And I can't even stress, I can't stress enough, the doors don't, they don't snap down really fast.
They're not that fast, man.
And like, if you, all right, if you wanted to kill them, if you needed writing to do it, have it so that the guy almost runs out and they have to like tackle him. You know what I mean? Like they have to restrain him so he can't leave, or like one of them does, but they all just stand there and just let the door slowly go down around them where, yeah, like you said, it, they only need one of them to sacrifice himself. They just sort of do it.
The point is, it's, it could have been anything, right? They're writing this. Like, it could have been any scenario that, that they're in that, that requires all three of them to sacrifice themselves to save everybody else. So they purposely decided to write the situation where all three of them definitely didn't need to die. And it's unclear that any of them needed to die.
No, so for people who are wondering, when we say that these bulkhead doors close, It's a section of a hallway that's maybe like 12 feet across. It is such a small space.
About as fast as a garage door, but not even that fast. Like, it's a little slower. Right.
So like, if you're standing even like 3 or 4 feet away from Frohickey pulling the fire alarm, you only have to clear like 8 feet in like 20 seconds.
It's going like, it's going at a speed where you would do, if you were there, like in person, you would do the Indiana Jones roll under it for fun.
Yes.
Like you wouldn't be, you wouldn't feel in danger to do that.
Yeah. Like I am a 40-year-old out of shape guy.
Oh God,
and
yeah.
I could have spent plenty of time getting across that threshold, and they just stand there. It feels like they have to edit around the fact that they have to just stand there and accept their death, because they're just, they don't, again, they don't even try. They're just ready to go.
Yeah.
The only person who tries to run is the bad guy. He's the only person who tries to self-preservate, and the rest of them just stand and watch.
And not even to self-preservate, because he's about to explode with a virus. He just wants to maximize his murder potential.
Right. He doesn't want to just kill these three dipshits. That's terrible terrorism.
Yeah, like, I am old enough that, like, it, if I did a crash roll, it would sound like high winds passing through an ancient forest.
Oh, yeah. But if I did a crash roll, it would kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I would die.
It would sound like somebody falling on a pile of old kindling.
Yeah. If I did a crash roll, it would be an actual crash. It would break bones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could get out of this situation easily. Easily. It is so weird. They're generally just bad. I mean, they keep trying. They're so mad at Eve. Like, they keep saying, like, at one point she's like, "You hold him here, I'll do the rest." And he's like, "What do you mean, cut him open?" And it's like, yeah, man, she's going to cut the terrorist open so he doesn't blow up the world. Like, they keep... like they keep it's weird. Like they're doing this thing where it's like, and then at the end they just kill themselves. But like later they follow Eve into a hotel room and they know she's going to kill this guy who they are pretty sure is like a terrorist. And they run in and say, "Eve, don't do it." And the terrorist runs out. They let the bomb go. They're like so weirdly concerned about Eve killing these guys who are going to kill millions. Like, let her kill them, right? Let her kill this guy.
Yeah. Like, what's the big deal?
I don't know. And then in the end, they end up just killing themselves. Like, they, I don't know. These people are going to die anyway, too. That's the thing, is they're suicide bombers. It's weird that they're so concerned about Eve killing these guys. And they, like, to the point where after they even realize what's at stake, they're like concerned. They're like, "No, Eve, don't kill them." It's weird. Yeah, They're weird.
That guy Jimmy has a real embarrassing line where he's like, "But you are a murderer, Eve."
Right. And it's like, guys, they're going to like, they have bombs in them. You got to get those bombs out, man. You got to.
Like,
they
knew
what they were doing when they put the bombs in themselves. Like, yeah, shoot them. Shoot them. Take the bomb out. Throw it in a furnace. Holy crap.
I really, really love that Mulder and Scully don't even see them die. Like, they just die like fucking idiots in a hallway.
Yeah, I want to talk about Scully.
Like, they do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few thing from Star Trek 2, like with the hand on the glass and shit.
Right. Who do they even do it to?
They do it with, like, Jimmy and Eve. That's it.
Right.
It's like Mulder and I think Doggett and Reyes might be there, but, like, Mulder and Scully are not.
Yeah, and Doggett and Reyes don't know these dudes.
No, they barely know these guys.
They inherited them.
They know them at all, yeah.
It's
like when you buy a house and you open a rummage drawer in the kitchen and it's full of, like, old bottle caps or something.
Yeah.
Like, great, I've got these now.
Yeah, I don't want these.
I guess these came with the house.
It's really amazing because so after they die, we have the funeral scene. It's the only scene with Scully, and it felt like they had to
Mulder
retroactively
didn't even show up, man.
No, oh, he's watching from high powered binoculars. You know that's what he's up to. He's watching from
a
tree.
He's in a really bad magician's disguise.
Yeah, he is. It'd be amazing if they had, like, a third guy at the funeral, just clearly Mulder in a mustache.
That's what they should have done. They should have had Mulder still be in every episode, but just have him be in a really terrible disguise. But
yeah.
Nobody notices him like
nobody
Clark Kent.
Nobody notices.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I want that.
Yeah, make that.
So... At the funeral, so they they have to retcon this because Skinner buries them in Arlington. He's like, I had to pull some strings.
Man,
and I'm like, wow,
like
Skinner.
Had to pull some strings to get buried in Arlington.
Skinner, just dump them in the ocean like Osama bin Laden. Like, come on, man, they don't give a shit.
Also, they were. If you believe
highly contaminated,
right? That's what I'm getting to. If you believe they died, which I don't, this episode seems to very loudly be saying that. But
right,
if they are dead, that means they were carried by this like super virus that could wipe out everything for 6 miles. So like,
yeah.
You don't bury them in Arlington. These corpses need to be burned like the Velveteen Rabbit.
Yes,
you can't put those death rags in Arlington.
They need to have a Chernobyl sarcophagus around
them. Yeah, you need to encase them in concrete and throw them in the ocean.
Yeah, that's a great point. They really should have, spoilers, the revival seasons don't revive the lone gunman. And as you point out, they easily could. And I feel like maybe like the actors were just like, no. They do come back for one scene.
Yeah, I know they're in the mushroom scene, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, just have them come back, man. Like, everything you're saying, it's like they clearly faked their death. But Skinner, burying them in Arlington, if they faked their death, that's so high profile. Like, I don't know. I also love that he had to pull some strings, even though they stopped terrorists. Like, I don't know. It's very funny because it means that the government was like, I don't know. And he's like, come on, man. They literally saved, like, the East Coast.
Yeah, they saved a lot
like,
of lives.
All right, I guess.
All right, I guess you can let those guys in there.
So Scully at the funeral says, quote, they meant
man.
So much to me.
Oh, man, yes.
I'm not sure if they ever really knew. And I'm like, Scully, one of them was your sex pest.
Yeah,
like,
that is almost
pest.
Literally what I wrote down.
Yeah. Bullshit, Scully. Bullshit. Someone should have turned to Scully and went, no, they didn't,
yeah, like,
Scully.
What I have
you
written
hated
down.
Them.
Yeah, they were sex pests that never missed an opportunity to sniff your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. There's no way you haven't found Frohickey in your bathroom at like 2 a.m.
You're right. There's no way you haven't found your underwear at Frohickey's house.
Yeah. It's so funny. Because it's like, I get it. They're dead, Scully. You're going to say nice things. But, like, I'm surprised you're at the funeral.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. It was such a bummer. Because it's just like, man, there is no one to mourn these guys.
Oh, no, not at all. Absolutely not.
It'd have been amazing if they got, like, Brad Pitt to be there. And then Scully and Skinner are just whispering. Like, dude, which
is
one of them
Brad
is Brad
Pitt?
Pitt? No,
like,
oh, shit, man.
Some really weird, like, Peter Bogdanovich
like
or some
fan.
Shit.
Yeah. Just has all the copies of their fucking newspaper.
He may have been dead by 2002. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Who, Brad Pitt?
No, Peter Bogdanovich.
Oh, yeah. Who can say?
I went a different direction.
Yeah. I don't have much else. I have a little Doggett and Reyes.
I think I have something.
Okay, Dog and Reyes have a weird hallway trap for the terrorists. And I only point out the weird dramatics of that. The guy is like walking down and they just start like closing him in. with like hazmat people. It feels like a scene from E.T. And it's just weird to me that they did it that way. Like, I don't know. It's like they knew they wanted. So the bad guy, there's a scene where the bad guy is going down the hallway.
Yeah.
And he goes around a corner and there's like sheets up and he's like stops like, oh no. And he turns around, there's sheets being put down him. And then these like hazmat people come out. And I thought like, oh my God, it's the Men in Black. They're going to take him in. And then it turns out to be Scully and Doggett. And I was like, why did you do it in such a sinister way? Like you were just having fun, weren't you?
Yeah, because it's cool, dog.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty cool.
I didn't have anything else. The only other thing I had was for Fletcher, but it turns out that it was all part of like this orchestrated plan. But right. I did have written down, it's like, boy, like they barely push him and he sings like a canary.
Yeah. But again, he is doing a fucking joker an angle, on them yeah. where I'm like, I'm not sure what your plan is here. I don't know. Can't you just hack their system? I don't know. It feels like there are easier ways to track down. What is his plan? Because he wants Eve. Is he's also trying to stop the terrorists, though, right?
No, I don't think he knew about the terrorists.
Oh, okay, so he was just trying to get
like Eve. Eve says something to that extent at the end. It's like, no, he didn't know anything about the bombs.
This is probably Lone Gunman TV show stuff that they don't explain.
Maybe.
Where it's like, what is their dynamic, you know? All right, well, should we go into our next segment, then?
I think we should, Dave.
All right. It's time to... but I'm going to say it's time to get your popcorn, walk into an AMC, sit down to watch Men in Black, because you know who doesn't need this? John Doggett doesn't need this.
Man, he certainly doesn't, Dave.
He saw Men in Black, Tom.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
John Doggett sitting there enjoying himself.
Can you...
Chuckling once.
He would love Men in Black.
At like the 46 like. Minute. Oh, yeah, you're right. He probably had a fucking ball watching Men in Black.
It's got a dad movie vibe.
Yeah,
like, you know,
does.
It's like his, it's like that and Midnight Run of his two favorite comedies, probably. Yeah, he says to Morris Fletcher, he says, I was a Men in Black, and Doggett's like, I saw the movie. And I just couldn't stop thinking about John Doggett just seeing Men in Black.
Watching Men in Black. Picturing Doggett watching any movie like that.
Yeah, any movie, really. Do you think he went to the theaters? Like, I can't imagine John Doggett going to a movie theater and like, you know, like dealing with trailers and like finding his seat.
Just sitting dead center in the auditorium.
It's hard to imagine him doing anything relaxing.
Right, because every time he tries, something ridiculous happens.
Yeah. In this episode, he certainly doesn't need the fact that he inherited Morris Fletcher. Like, he's so annoyed by all of this. By the way, for people who are just joining us, John Doggett is a character who replaced Mulder, who is just no-nonsense New York City cop played by Robert Patrick, and he is just not interested in any of this mumbo-jumbo in the X-Files.
No,
makes him magical.
He's a very serious detective.
Yeah, but despite that, he has died 3 times?
Yeah.
He constantly gets beat up on in this show. And I feel like he's past his arc now. Like we said in the last one in Scary Monsters, he doesn't need it so bad that he solves an X-File. I don't have too much for this, except for the fact that, yeah, John Doggett has to inherit, like, Morris Fletcher basically calls Doggett and Reyes, like, you're the new X-Files people. Doggett doesn't know who any of this is. He clearly has no relationship with the Lone Gunmen, and it feels like he's just sort of babysitting these ghouls. Like, there's a part where, like, one of Frohickey, like, tries to swing at Morris Fletcher, and Doggett just grabs his arm like a child.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? He's breaking up two kids that can't get along.
Yeah, that's it. And then he meets this lady who's like tearing parts out of people. And like, he's so checked out.
There's when they go to Professor Houghton, his autopsy or whatnot. And the coroner is telling them, yeah, this guy like bled bioluminescence and he had surgically implanted cartilage inside himself. It's like, dog, it's like, I don't need any of this.
He really does.
There's a look on his face that he's just, his eyes are sighing heavily.
No, he is the audience. He is inheriting the entire season of The Lone Gunman in one sitting where they're like, this is Jimmy. This is Morris. This is our hacker friend. This is this is Eve. We got to get Eve. She's tearing parts out of people. She's not normally like this. And John Doggett just has to. And then at the end, they die. And Scully's at the funeral crying. And Doggett's standing there. Is he even at the funeral? I don't think he's at the funeral.
He walks away, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's going to go fucking get some lunch. He feels nothing.
Yeah, he's got nothing invested in these guys.
Yeah. He also has to learn that he's part of this intricate plot by Morris Fletcher. Like, he's being used to, and then these fucking shark weapons, this human bomb. Yeah, it's just, he's so checked out.
They send him off to track down Eve with his fake name. Oh, no,
down the bomb man. They're like, there's a man who could explode in a virus. Doggett, you go handle that.
But he has the name of a guy who died in 1996. So he comes back. Send him on a. This is, he doesn't need this. Like, it's yet so another funny chase where they, of a name of a person who's been dead for fucking 8 years.
It's perfect, Doggett, because they're like, this man is a bomb. He's the most important thing. Doggett, you go get him. We're going to sit here. We'll stay back here. We're going to grab lunch.
I think it was important because that's when they have that guy Kimmy come in, the other hacker, the evil hacker. And he's like really fucking intolerable. So I think they sent Doggett out because they knew those two guys couldn't be in the same room.
Yeah, like, that he would kill him.
Doggett would have broken this guy's neck in 38 seconds.
Right.
They would have exchanged 16 words and that would have been it.
Yeah.
He's like, he's at one point he says, nice job, special ed.
God damn. God damn it. Yeah, Doggett would have killed that man.
Yeah.
That's all I have. I mean, he's not in it much.
There's one thing that I have that I guess goes... I guess it's because he's on tilt. Doesn't really fit in this section. But it's a Doggett thing, so I'm putting it here. He's talking about, like, the imaging on the guy.
Right.
On the dead guy. And he says, because the doctors here have run every kind of imaging, they've come up snake eyes. It's like, I'm not sure you're using that expression correctly, Doggett.
Oh, Doggett. I don't know. I could go either way on whether or not Doggett is a gambler.
I'm sure he is, but that's not really what snake eyes means.
No, that's why...
Mean nothing. Snake eyes means you bet big and lost.
Here's the thing. Doggett, I don't think, would like a casino. It's too gaudy. It's too flashy. But I could see him having poker night with the boys.
I think he's mentioned it before, yeah. Yeah, I think Doggett would be into video poker. Anything that he can do by himself while he's drinking.
At a bar, yeah. Yeah, scum poker. I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong, Dave,
as a gambling guy? Am I wrong? Like, that felt like the wrong use of snake eyes.
not really what that term means.
He says, he's basically saying, like, all of the x-ray and imaging came up with nothing. But
right,
instead of nothing,
eyes.
He says snake eyes.
So I don't actually play craps.
Really, snake eyes means you busted. It doesn't mean. I guess it kind of works. Okay, never mind.
All right, I like dirt gambling. Like, I like scratch tickets and poker. I like poker, but craps was always, every time I tried to learn craps, I'd get a headache, and I'd walk away from that shit. There's easier ways to gamble, you know. Like the ponies.
It just seems like a more aggressive loss than not finding anything. It's like, we checked for something and we didn't find it. Seems different from shooting craps and throwing snake
and losing
eyes.
Losing everything. Yeah.
like going bust. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway,
I think the writers are still toying with the way Doggett talks, too.
Right. I think the writers are all nerds and they're trying to write a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not a cool guy, but like a guy who just doesn't deal with nerd shit at all.
Yeah, a cop.
It's not in a sense.
A John Wayne type. Like, that's the idea.
Right. Yeah, of course. But not in the sense, like, Doggett's not in the sense that, like, he's, like, opposed to nerd shit necessarily. It's just, like, he can't understand it.
Right.
It just doesn't compute.
I have an unrelated question. Where's Cary Elwes? Remember when Cary Elwes was in
totally
the show?
He's totally gone. He's been gone for like how many episodes now?
Many. Is he going to come back, you think?
I don't think he does.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think he does.
All right. I'm now getting
Because
off topic.
I watched the finale and I don't remember him in the finale.
You watched the finale?
Well, I watched the finale when it came on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't recall him coming back. They were trying something. It did not work. They were trying a lot of stuff. Should we talk about fireable offenses?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I mean, that lady is... I mean, listen, she was doing good things.
Oh, wait. She is like a... Oh, wait, never mind. I had a Scully after dark, but...
Well,
just hidden in my notes here that I had overlooked.
What was it?
I apologize. It's a line she says at the end of the lone gunman's funeral. She says, it means they're gone, but they live on through us all.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what were they, Santa?
Oh, my God.
Like, there were three creeps.
Your sex creeps, Scully. There's your sex creeps. They live on. She's like, they live on through my trauma. I will always see them in my nightmares. Jesus Christ, Scully. Terrible lines.
Incredible. Sorry. Anyway.
No, it's fine. So fireable offenses, things that, you know, should get them fired from the FBI. I just want to point out, I'm not sure if this is fireable, but that lady is a terrorist. She killed a terrorist, but she's still a murderer, right? She's not like a cop or anything.
No.
Like, she should probably be put in custody.
She's like a vigilante at the very least.
Yeah, they just sort of let her go. I don't know her deal, but you'd think Doggett and Scully would be a little more interesting.
They don't really enforce the law anymore.
No, the X-Files. They really don't.
They really don't. They've given up on that. The big old shrug.
This isn't really a crime, but it wouldn't look good on paper. The fact that the lone gunmen are buried in Arlington would raise a lot of questions.
That would be
right?
A huge controversy.
Yeah.
The fact that three civilians are buried in Arlington would be... people would be really upset about that.
Yes, and here's the thing. You know who would be really upset about it? The lone gunmen. Because when you think about who the lone gunmen are...
Why would they want to be, like, fucking honored by the government?
Exactly.
They hate the government.
In fact, their fellow conspiracy people would then assume that they were, like, CIA.
Right, that they were, like, plants this whole time. They'd been, like, double agents. Yeah, it's, like, the worst thing you can do to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that, man.
Yeah,
you really
be buried in Arlington.
Yeah.
Maybe Langley.
Maybe that was a signal to their friends that they weren't really dead.
Or not Langley. Fucking who's the guy who was named after JFK? Yeah. Like I could see him wanting it, but yeah, the rest of them, no. They're like one of them's a fucking Ramones guy. He's just so into the like. Yeah, he. Burying in Arlington. That just is not good for anybody. It's not good for Skinner. It's not good for them. It's not good for Arlington. And yeah, like someone's going to get in trouble for that, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, maybe it could be like their way of signaling to their friends and associates that they're not really dead.
Right.
Like, they would never be buried in Arlington. They must not really be dead.
Yeah, I guess. See, I would, if I was their weird conspiracy brain friends, I would assume, oh, they were, you know, CIA. That's why they were buried in Arlington. Time to name the enabler.
Oh, boy. I'm so excited.
I guess it's fucking Morris Fletcher?
Let's see. He's the one... He creates this boondoggle in the beginning to gaslight everybody into finding Eve. And then the bomb guys. But Eve was doing that anyway. Like, it's incidental that they get put on to this... shark bomb conspiracy plot.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's always Mulder. When Mulder's not there, it's always this.
It's the invisible hand of Mulder. Yeah. I guess it is Fletcher in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, he's enabling the shit out of them with his weird fucking the game thing. His weird Joker Ocean's 12
and
plot.
Like Reyes and Doggett are being real like
they don't do shit.
Yeah, they're just. They're like the two drunk parents at the barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah. They
Your
don't,
kid's like
barely.
Playing in the chimney. Nah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's healthy. Yeah, I think that's it. So that brings us to Crazy Like a Fox.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, folks. This is the part of the episode where we assign a numerical rating from 1 to 10 to grade Agent Fox Mulder's behavior. 1 being calm, cool, collected, a representative of the federal government. 10 being none of those things at all. Mulder's not in this episode, but we will apply this rating to other characters as it seems appropriate.
The only two I can think of, because I think Reyes and Doggett are non-characters. I think the lone gunman, to honor them, we should probably give them something. And Scully. I would argue the lone gunmen, for all of their hard work, deserve a 10.
Yeah. It's
also,
like
they kill themselves.
They kill themselves very, very little reason. This is their like Return of the King 10, right?
Yes.
Like, because we haven't honored them before. We're not going to get a chance to honor them again. So let's give them a 10.
But also, it's a 10, I think, because they murder themselves with no thought of
very little
how
reason.
Easily they
yeah.
can escape. Yeah.
They could have thought about this for maybe another minute and they would have come up with a better plan.
Yeah. What do you think about Scully? So she's got like a 30 seconds in this, but the thing she says,
but
about
she says
the
some
gunman,
truly incredible things that makes me reevaluate her relationship with the lone gunman for the past 10 years.
It makes me go like, wait, was Scully into this? What was going on? Like, she's truly mourning these dipshits' death. I think she's like a 2 or a 3.
I'd be comfortable giving her a 3 just over that fucking they live on through us all line that she says at the end. Like, what are you talking about?
It's kind of also an honorary 3 because she doesn't do much, but that is enough to, like, if I was Skinner in that moment, I'd be like, Scully, have you had anything to eat today? Are you okay? Let's get you inside. You clearly have heat stress.
Does your face feel numb?
Yeah, what's going on? All right. Well, that's the episode.
Hey, we did it.
We did it, folks. It's a weird one. And listen, you should check out our Patreon, because our next episode is for the episode William, which, spoilers, is technically the return of Mulder for
kinda
a moment.
Sort of.
It is directed by David Duchovny, and it was co-written by him. So that's a big deal, but you can only listen to that on our Patreon, and that'll be patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. You know, you should check that out.
You should. Right? We also have a store. Head over to gamefullyunemployed.com, where you can find a link to our Teespring store, where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So check that out. Slap your little Mulderini peepers onto that. We've got some Mulder stuff. We've got some pretty cool Mulder stuff, actually.
We do. We really do. So you should check that out.
So check it out, definitely.
Yeah, check it. Check it. Because, you know, you don't even have to like us. If you just like Mulder,
if you just
maybe
like
we got
the
Mulder
X-Files,
stuff.
We have some really fun, funny pieces of art in there done by
if
some
Mulder
great
is
artists.
Bigfoot.
So that's right. The courtroom
naked
one.
Mulder.
The Fluke Man on trial.
Oh, Fluke Man on trial.
The
holy
Mulder
shit.
Conspiracy tree.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the Always Sunny Mulder.
The Always Sunny Mulder. Yeah, there's some good ones. There's some really fun ones in there. So check it out.
There is. Check it out. You should. You owe it to yourself. You know, and God, you owe it to God. Let's go with God. Fuck it.
You owe it to Burt Reynolds.
You owe it to go. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
And
the X-Files canon, Burt Reynolds is God.
Jesus Christ, man. This fucking show. Artwork for Fox Mulder is a Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. You can see more of her work at StarleneArts.com. or on Twitter.com as StarleneX.